When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good morning. It is time to get up with a Sin City stunner. Devontae to the desert. What did Aaron know and when did he know it? It's the surprise of the year. We're all over it. Meanwhile, it's decision day for Deshaun. Down to two. Where will Watson wind up? You will find out first right here. Plus, oh, Baker, what have you done? We'll explain just how badly Mayfield has mangled his situation. Where does he go from here? Those are the questions. We've got the answers as we get up with you on a Football Friday unlike any other here on Get Up. It's a bit of a pea super outside. Try to pay no attention to that whatsoever. We got the fog, but we got the news and we got the squad. Kmart is here. Tannenbaum changed his flight just to be here. We got the big fella, Chris Canty, with us today. And that's not all. Jeremy Fowler's breaking stories. Ninkovich is ready to go. Shefty will be along shortly because the news is enormous. Green Bay, no more. The Packers are trading Aaron Rodgers' number one receiver, Davante Adams, to the Las Vegas Raiders for two draft picks this year, the first and second round picks for the Raiders in the upcoming draft. And Las Vegas is giving Davante Adams a five-year contract averaging $28.5 million per season. Jeremy Fowler, the entire world stopped when this news broke late yesterday evening. What happened and why?
Well, Greeny, this reached a boiling point. Adams and the Packers had problems for months because Adams over the summer was unhappy.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Oh, you're kidding. Okay, we've lost Jeremy Fowler mid-thought. We will come back to him. Kmart, fill in the blanks. What was he about to say?
Davante Adams made it known he did not want to play on the franchise tag. Everybody knew that. He wanted to make over $20-plus million. And unfortunately, the Packers found themselves in a situation where after giving Aaron Rodgers all this money and spending the last year focused on Aaron Rodgers, Davante Adams felt some type of way, and now he is the Raiders' best option.
And so I find myself absolutely stunned. But Mike Tannenbaum, how does Aaron Rodgers and the month or so that we've just lived through with him factor into what we saw happen yesterday?
Yeah, the timing of this is terrible because everything took so long. They could not get to Davante Adams. And now, Greeny, they're in a catastrophic situation. Allen Robinson signed with the Rams. Amari Cooper was traded to Cleveland. Equanimeous St. Brown just signed with Chicago. So their options are limited. Greeny, what they went out and did is they went out and bought property on Park Avenue to compete against the Waldorf Astoria, and now they're going to have to put up a Holiday Inn Express.
It's a disaster.
Holiday Inn Express,
and frankly, you have been talking for some time about Aaron Rodgers and the impact his contract might have on the team. Is that connected here?
Absolutely. The salary cap is a zero-sum game. The more of an allocation one player gets, the less you have for others. Kmart nailed it. He wanted to be the highest-paid receiver. DeAndre Hopkins was at $27 million. They had to go above that. It made it a much more difficult contract to get done when your quarterback is making $50 million a year.
All right, Chris Canty, what do you think? It's the stunning development here, Davante Adams to the Raiders.
Well, guys, I think we need to acknowledge what actually happened. You're talking about the best receiver in football deciding I'm better off with Derek Carr with the Las Vegas Raiders than I am staying in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers. And this guy just signed a contract to extend him for the next 3 years. That is fascinating to me. I think that speaks volumes about how Davante Adams feels about that situation in Green Bay, the volatility that's been around Aaron Rodgers, the uncertainty of not knowing whether or not he's going to come back, and all of these other different factors. He decided that I'm going to Las Vegas. I know Derek Carr. I got a house in the same neighborhood as Derek Carr. I work out with him in the offseason. It's more of a known quantity in terms of what I'm getting from the quarterback. I'm better off as a receiver with a guy that I know is going to show up every single day.
And what I would say, if I was the GM of the Green Bay, too bad. You're under the franchise tag. You are playing here this year, period, end of story.
Yeah, but he hadn't signed the franchise tag. So you have the option. What, do you want to carry a $20 million cap charge throughout the entire offseason?
Yeah.
And that's what you're going to do?
And you're not going to miss checks. You're not going to miss $1 million a week or more.
You know what it's like to play. You weren't trying to miss any game check.
No, I understand what you're saying, that if he doesn't sign, until he signs the franchise tag, or even if he doesn't sign it, they're carrying that cap charge. But would you rather carry that cap charge or lose Davante Adams is really what their choice came down to.
My whole point is you can't move your football team forward. At least this way, you got the draft picks from the Las Vegas Raiders. You can use those assets in order to bring players that can help Aaron Rodgers. Rather than sitting in limbo throughout the draft, throughout the rest of free agency, this is a chance for you to move your team forward if Davante Adams has expressed to you he doesn't want to be.
But I guess what Mike Tannenbaum is saying is at the end of the day, he would have played for them. That if you would given Davante Adams the option between you're not playing this year, thus you're not getting paid anything, or you're going to come here and play with Aaron Rodgers in this place you always have, you're betting on the fact that he ultimately would have done it.
Well, that's a huge bet. That's a huge gamble that you want to take. And the other thing we have to keep in mind with this, Greeny, is that Brian Gutekunst turned over the keys to the franchise to Aaron Rodgers.
That's right.
This is a contract that was signed 48 hours ago. So we're talking about Aaron Rodgers understanding what was happening and essentially signing off on Green Bay pulling the trigger on this deal.
We would assume. I mean, again, that's what I meant when I said Aaron Rodgers, what did he know and when did he know it? I mean, yes, we assume he was not taken completely blindsided by this, and Rob Domofsky reported as much. He's going to join us coming up shortly. Let me get Ninkovich in on all of this. Ninko, what do you make of it?
All I know is Josh McDaniels is like Dennis the Menace with the slingshot. He's pulling that thing back. He just shot the Vegas Raiders to the front of the line because of the fact that he's going out. He paid Max Crosby, right? Mad Max. He's got Chandler Jones on the other side. You go get Davante Adams. You talk to him. You say, listen, okay, here, you know what you're going to get in Vegas. You know the quarterback. There's not going to be any issues. He's not going to be wanting $60 million a year, right? I think what happened in Green Bay was Davante Adams is sitting back. He's looking at this whole thing with Aaron Rodgers and all the focus was on Aaron Rodgers. Nobody was talking about Davante Adams. Everyone was just like, oh, yeah, Davante Adams is going to want to be there because Aaron Rodgers is there. Well, hold up. At the end of the day, especially now, we know that football's only a year-to-year thing. You got to get exactly what you need for your family. You got to go get paid. So he's like, listen, Aaron Rodgers says it's not about the money, but then now he's making 50 a year, 150 guaranteed. What about me? What about me? What about the guy that's catching the ball? Because last time I checked, you can't throw it and catch it for touchdowns. Like, you need that other guy to catch the football.
That's what Giselle said.
Davante Adams, you just went to Vegas, and guess what? Vegas, to me, they're Super Bowl contenders now. With that pass rush and the offense that they have, I'm telling you.
Josh McDaniels, Nico,
he's got the slingshot.
He's got them right up there. And again, McDaniels coming over as the new head coach of the Raiders. All right, so now the relationships.
Yes.
Because here's the part of this that confuses me the most. Mm-hmm. I was under the impression, and I think most people were, that Rodgers and Davante Adams were like this, right? The Last Dance stuff that they posted last year. And I mean, I imagine that they were doing Pancha Karma cleanses together. That's how close I thought that they were. So how is it possible that Davante Adams said, you know what, I'm better off without Aaron, and Aaron said, yes, I'm cool with that?
I think Davante Adams said, I'm better off with $28 million. Like a year living in Vegas, no state income tax. I think Aaron Rodgers got the bag. Congratulations. Davante Adams is special. And here's the disconnect, because Green Bay acted as though Aaron Rodgers, as long as we have Aaron Rodgers, we're good. And Davante Adams feels like, now hold up one second. I am just as important to this offense as he is, and I deserve to be paid as such. He should have been paid last year. And I think this is where Green Bay messed up, because now you have a second star player who felt some type of way and didn't feel like they were shown the type of love. And when you are the best at your position, the organization has to treat you as such. And I think, unfortunately for Green Bay, this is a point of no return with Davante, unlike with Aaron.
Well, I mean, certainly a point of no return at this moment. I'm also a little taken aback by how little they got for him. They got a one and a two. I would remind everyone, the New York Jets got two first-round picks for Jamal Adams, who's a safety. And the Green Bay Packers just got a one and a two for Davante Adams, who's the best receiver in the National Football League. How does this make sense?
Green Bay made multiple mistakes here. One, they should have forced the issue with Aaron Rodgers several weeks ago. That would have given them time to flesh out everything with Davante Adams and hopefully come up with a solution. And then the other part, Green, it's very fundamental. He's under the franchise tag. Make the Raiders sign an offer sheet, and then under the rules, they match it, and he's a Packer, or they get two first-round picks. So I think Green Bay made multiple mistakes here, and now they're waking up with the sober reality. They're losing a great wide receiver in his prime that they can't replace.
Right.
And I want to make one other point here, Green.
Yeah.
Let's say it's DK Metcalf that's available. If I'm DK Metcalf, well, why would I want to go to Green Bay, as Chris mentioned, because how do I know if Aaron Rodgers is going to be there next year? I think it's going to be very difficult for them to replace a player of his caliber at this point.
Chris, put a ribbon on this. We have so many stories to get to. We will come, and we're going to go live to Green Bay to Rob Domofsky, our reporter there, for the very latest coming up later in this hour. But, Chris, how do we put into perspective the magnitude of what happened yesterday in the NFC?
No excuses for Aaron Rodgers. I mean, even losing the best receiver in the NFL, this is a situation that because of your action, or in a lot of ways, your inaction for a period of time right after the season, you cost yourself one of the best weapons in the National Football League. And so now it's going to be up to you to live up to the expectations of that contract, getting paid $50 million on average annual value. The expectation is that you can make guys around you better.
Right.
You can elevate the talent base around you. And so that's what Aaron Rodgers is going to have to be dealing with an NFC that looks like it's getting a lot stiffer when it comes to the competition.
Okay, just a remarkable development there. And, oh, by the way, that's only one of three major stories from the NFL. Let's get to this one next. This could be decision day for Deshaun. The race to trade for the Texans quarterback is now down to the Falcons and the Saints after the Panthers were informed yesterday that they are out of the running. The Browns were informed earlier in the day that they, too, were out. But, of course, we saw that there was a ripple effect from that. So, Jeremy Fallow, let's take this in two pieces. First off, what do we know about Deshaun Watson and the decision that essentially now feels as though it is his to make?
Well, Greeny, he can make a decision here in the next 24 to 36 hours. I spoke to somebody close to Watson who said his criteria is clear. He wants to win. He wants to go to a place with good offensive young pieces, good offensive line, good coaching, chance to win right now. The Saints offer that. Falcons, not so much, but here's what they're selling, a long-term vision. Maybe in 2022 they got some cap issues. Well, in 2023 they're going to have $120+ million in cap space. They can go all in. They can fill some pieces, some wide receiver points in the short term. And I'm told that Watson has felt the love from Atlanta, not only people in the organization recruiting him, people in the community outside of the organization, even from the Atlanta Braves, players calling and texting him. So he has a lot to weigh right now. Decision could come fairly soon.
Okay, so we're waiting on that from Deshaun Watson. And then the ripple effects, the flirtation, the open flirtation between the Cleveland Browns and Watson seems to have done irreparable damage to their relationship with their own quarterback, Baker Mayfield. Jeremy, what can you tell us?
Well, the Browns are going to try to reconcile this, Greeny. I spoke to somebody with Cleveland. They said, look, relationships can evolve. It's rocky right now, but we do not plan to accommodate Mayfield's trade request at all. That is the case right now where they stand. Can that change if they get a great offer from a team? Certainly. I asked some execs around the league what Mayfield might be worth. They said maybe, you know, a day two pick, maybe a Carson Wentz package with Washington, like two third-round picks. So there could be some interest there. I know Mayfield has high interest in playing for a team like the Indianapolis Colts, a place he can go in and win right now. But the person I talked to from Cleveland said, look, Aaron Rodgers' situation in Green Bay is not lost on us. Different player, different team, but 6 months ago it looked like they were headed for a divorce. Now they're good on a four-year contract. So relationships can mend. Cleveland is hopeful for that right now.
Okay, fascinating. I wish you could have seen the reactions of literally every person as you were going through the details. Everyone is chomping at the bit. Kmart, I'll give you the first crack at this. What, Baker and Cleveland, what?
Okay, so here, Baker to me, let me preface this. I love me some Baker Mayfield. I love Baker, right? I love the moxie. I love the attitude. I love the pettiness. I love it. But here's the reality of life. The thing that you love about your spouse the most is the thing that will make you want to kill them in the end, okay? So here we are with Baker now penning missives about I love Cleveland and I don't know what'll happen Cleveland, I don't know what comes next Cleveland, but just know I gave my heart and my soul. Okay, we didn't need all that emo stuff right now. This is a business, okay? And the fallacy is that NFL relationships, as you know, former mm-hmm. psych major, I'm all about relationships. This is not an unconditional type of love. That does not exist in the NFL. It is about production. The love lasts as long as you produce on the field. And again, I love Baker Mayfield. However, I have covered enough Browns games to see why the franchise isn't completely sold and why they didn't pick up his option. So, with all that said, I hear it, I get it. Baker would love to play for the Indianapolis Colts. You know what? Everybody probably would because they've got a loaded roster. Do the Colts want Baker Mayfield? No. That's the reality. Like, they don't want him. Like, the Texans didn't want him in a trade when they were talking to the Browns. So Baker can want whatever he wants, but he has to, it's almost like having, like, body dysmorphia. Like, Baker has a very different view of his actual play than what is reality. And again, love Baker. Think he can be a great quarterback in the NFL. But this is the issue. He is not seeing himself through clear lenses, and that's why we have the situation.
It's a fascinating perspective. And Rob Ninkovich, I feel like I can hear you heaving sighs from the other end. What is your take?
Everything that Kmart likes about Baker, I can't stand. Who likes thin skin? Who likes a false sense of reality? That's like having a 1.4 GPA and wow. putting a resume in to Harvard, right? Like, there's no possible way that you are going to be accepted because of the fact that you have to live in reality. You have to look at yourself and say, okay, what am I? And Baker, if he says trade me, nobody wants you. Nobody wants to trade for Baker. Baker was a first-round pick. Baker was with the Browns, and they made sure that he was a starting quarterback from day one. Sorry, I have dog hair on me. Because of the fact that Baker is the first-round pick, and they wanted to make sure that he looked good and was the starting quarterback with a loaded roster. Mm-hmm. You can't look at Cleveland and say, okay, they're not loaded. They have the running backs. They have the defense.
They have
the pass rush.
Yep.
They have everything. The Colts, they have exactly what the Colts have. They literally are almost the same thing. What do the Colts want? They want a quarterback that can throw down the field on third down. What do the Cleveland Browns want? They want a quarterback that can throw the ball on third down. It's the same thing. So, guess what?
So well said.
What Cleveland needs to do is say, you know what, Baker? No, we will not trade you. We're going to bring in somebody really good, and you're going to compete with them. And you might not win. You might be a backup. But we're not trading you because nobody wants you. Just be honest. Live in reality. That's what I want everyone to do. Live in reality.
Chris Candy, jump in here.
Yeah, it's facts over feelings. Baker Mayfield has this warped sense of who he is as a player. Right now, he's the eighth best quarterback in the conference at best. And since he came in the league in 2018, he's led the NFL in interceptions in that span, and he's 24th in total QBR. That's who Baker Mayfield is. So it's not outside of the realm of possibility that Andrew Berry might be looking to upgrade at the quarterback position, especially given what we've seen from Baker this past year. But the production on the field is just a part of it, Greeny. We also got to talk about the leadership intangibles or lack thereof, because that locker room was split when they cut Baker OBJ. Mm-hmm. That team decided to side with Baker Mayfield when that public rift happened between those two players. And what were they repaid with? Baker Mayfield going out there in front of the media and saying that there was friction in the organization and things need to change. No, you know what? Maybe we need to change our starting quarterback. And right now, Baker Mayfield is dangerously close to being relegated to Jared Goff status. You know what that means? Being a bridge quarterback in an outpost in the NFL. That's where we're at.
That's really strongly said. And I want to follow up on that, because it is clear from the way you're reacting to this and the way Ninko is reacting to this. Players in that locker room expect the quarterback to have certain emotional characteristics, certain personality traits that it does not feel as though Baker Mayfield is exhibiting here.
Yeah, he's supposed to be the stabilizing force in the franchise. When you hit that inevitable adversity, your quarterback is supposed to be the one to galvanize everybody in the locker room. And Baker Mayfield hasn't shown the ability to do that at the toughest times, and particularly when he's struggling on the field. And that's important. Players want to see how you react when you're not playing your best. And so far, Baker Mayfield has failed that test.
All right, so he used the analogy there. You got a 1.4 GPA, and you're applying to Harvard. Where did the Cleveland GM go to college?
He went to Harvard. He went to Harvard. And Greeny, he's really smart. And to pick up what Chris said, I'm looking at you, Baker Mayfield. I'm Andrew Berry. I am doing my job. I have a responsibility to improve this roster. Deshaun Watson's a better football player than you. You're in the last year of your contract. Go play great football, and you will get paid. And to Chris's point, as Coach Parcells would say, we want a battlefield commander. We want somebody with emotional and physical toughness. When things go wrong, it's 100% your fault. When things go right, it's because of your teammates. You are not a commander. You are not a leader. That is the answers to the test.
And so what do you do? Do you trade him? He wants to be traded. Do you trade him?
So here's what I'm going to try to do. I am going to get on the phone with Terry Fontenot from Tulane, who is now the GM of the Falcons, and I am trading for Matt Ryan. And once I get Matt Ryan, I am going to move on from Baker Mayfield. As Chris said, I'm going to relegate Baker Mayfield. So Matt Ryan moved back to his roster bonus that was due today for 3 days, Greeny. That is sneaky big news, and I am going to trade for Matt Ryan. If I'm Chris Ballard, the GM of the Colts, I'm going to be on the other phone.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Say, I really need Matt Ryan as well, and I think the Falcons come out of this probably in a better position than they think.
So this is fascinating. So we're going to get to the Matt Ryan of it all as this hour continues. But the bottom line of it is, what you're telling us is that the teams that Baker Mayfield wants to go to would all rather have Matt Ryan than him, despite Ryan's age and salary.
Well, here's the thing. If you're the Indianapolis Colts, you just tried it with the reclamation project in Carson Wentz, and you saw that disaster where they had to cut bait from him. Do you think they have any interest in going down that same road with Baker Mayfield?
Yeah. Final word, quickly.
Baker, it's not about feelings, bro. Just get back on the field.
Got me in my feelings.
We'll see where he winds up. We're just getting started. As you can see,
do you love
Fowler's
me?
Text are blowing up as we go. Huge news coming up. Much more on the Davante Adams blockbuster. What did Aaron know and when did he know it? We're going to find out from our man on the ground there in Green Bay. Plus, sneaky big news, as we mentioned, with Matt Ryan. Does it signal his departure from Atlanta? And if so, where's he going? The league is being reshaped as we speak. Stay with us. Get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Get Up is brought to you by Arby's. Arby's, we have the meats. All right, Kimberly Martin, I'd like to get your impressions on the fashion statement made by Carson Wentz yesterday.
Okay. He's good. Like, I'm feeling like I need a Happy Meal right now. But you know what? It is so easy to kill Carson because he looks like ketchup and mustard. But his wife okayed that outfit. And if anything, happy wife, happy life. So I'm going to let Carson live for this moment. But if he wears this and then is not good on the field, forget it. I'm done.
I mean, does he open himself up to all of the that's the only gold jacket he's ever going to have kind of jokes? Like, is that?
I had Dan Orlovsky present Carson.
That's what Orlovsky gave him his gold jacket. That's a better play than me. Okay. On we go. Coming up, the Davante Adams stunner. What the actual heck happened here? Was Aaron Rodgers actually on board? We're going live to Green Bay for the details next. We'll be right back. All right, on this day filled with huge news from the world of sports, here's the most important news. The Red Cross is providing humanitarian relief in response to the crisis in Ukraine. If you would like to help support and donate, please visit redcross.org/ESPN. Meanwhile, back to our story of the day here. The Packers trading Aaron Rodgers' number one receiver, Devontae Adams, to the Raiders for two picks this year, the first and second round picks from Las Vegas, which is also giving Adams a five-year contract averaging $28.5 million per season. And the moment I saw this news yesterday, I had two questions. What did Aaron Rodgers know, and when did he know it? And then almost immediately, as though reading my mind, our Packers reporter Rob Domofsky tweeted the answers to those. Rob, for those who've not seen them, what can you tell us about Rodgers' understanding of all this?
Greeny, he knew about it the whole time. He knew that Adams was unhappy. He knew that this was a possibility, and yet Rodgers still signed his contract this week to come back to Green Bay. So he knew when he signed and he would possibly be playing here without Devontae Adams this season. Now, I'm sure in the back of his mind he thought that this would possibly get worked out and that he would have his favorite target back. But the recruiting pitch that Derek Carr, Adams' college teammate, who he kept in touch with for a long time and they were very close, put on a recruiting pitch, and ultimately Devontae Adams chose Derek Carr, the Raiders, over the Packers and Aaron Rodgers.
Which I think surprised a lot of people, I will confess, including me. It has been my perception from a distance and the Last Dance posts and the way Rodgers has talked about Devontae Adams and the space that Devontae Adams left, you know, for him when he in the one game that he wasn't there. I mean, I really thought the two of them were and are incredibly close. Does the world have that wrong, Rob?
I don't think they did at that point, Greeny, and their connection on the field was unreal. How many times did we see Aaron Rodgers and Devontae just give a little head nod and they knew exactly what the other one was thinking? But what happened, Greeny, was when the Packers couldn't come to a deal with him last summer, the negotiations got cut off and Adams became frustrated. Then add in the franchise tag, which no one wants. And you remember at one point last year, we asked Adams if he would take less money just to stay with Aaron Rodgers, and Devontae Adams said, quote, not going to happen. So that all leads up to the point where he became frustrated with the organization. And even though the Packers ultimately came back with a deal that was equal to, if not slightly more, a source told me, than what the Raiders offered, by that point, Adams was too far down the road and was too frustrated and too upset, and he wanted out.
So let's just make sure we underline those words. The Packers were willing to go financially as far as the Raiders have gone, if not necessarily a little farther even, and still Adams chose to depart. Mike Tannenbaum, how do you keep Domofsky with us if we can here, because we may have more questions for him. How do you read that?
Yeah, that is totally inconsistent. He's not a free agent. He's a franchise player. The Packers didn't need to let him go. Under the rules, they could get an offer sheet from the Vegas Raiders and just match it. So the fact that they took less than the two ones, which they would have been able to get on the franchise tag, makes no sense. But more fundamentally, if they were going to pay him more money, why not just match the offer sheet? You're all in with Aaron Rodgers. You're paying him $50 million a year. Why would you not just match the offer sheet?
Yeah, Domofsky, you know, we were sort of talking during the break here that the Baker Mayfield, who no one seems to want, tells the Browns, we want to trade. And they say, no, we're not trading that guy. Devontae Adams, who's the best receiver in the NFL, tells the Packers we want to trade, and their reaction seems to be, well, all right, if you want to trade, I guess there's nothing we can do. And they trade him for a one and a two. Like, it just doesn't seem to make sense. Rob, help us with this.
Yeah, Mike's right, and Mike knows the inner workings of this whole acquisition better than anyone, but he was given the non-exclusive franchise tag, which means exactly what Mike said, that someone else could have signed him to an offer sheet. Packers would have had the option to match. If not, they would have gotten those two number ones. Mm-hmm. Now, why they didn't go down that road, I do not know, but it is an interesting question, and why they didn't do it that way, Packers have not said.
Canty, go ahead, jump in here. We're hearing Domofsky talk. What do you think?
Well, I'm just sitting here thinking about what Mike T just laid out with the franchise tag. Wouldn't that require the player actually sign the tag before you can go down that road?
No, he could have signed an offer sheet with the Raiders with the terms he agreed to, and they could have just matched it.
They could have matched it, if they chose not to, then they get two ones.
Exactly. So it seems like there was some urgency from the Green Bay Packers, and maybe they panicked a little bit when they realized that Devontae Adams didn't no longer want to be in Green Bay, which is a surprise because typically players – want to stay where they've been their entire career.
But this
so the
is
fact
how
that he chose
know.
To leave says something about the uncertainty surrounding Aaron Rodgers in that whole situation in Green Bay. And we're naive to think that what we've seen from Aaron Rodgers since Jordan Love has been drafted did not factor into the math for Devontae Adams in making the decision to leave for Las Vegas.
How so? What do you mean by that?
Because you don't know what's going to happen to Aaron Rodgers from year to year. The discord, the animosity between him and the front office is uncertainty, and for a player that plays the receiver position that's dependent on the quarterback to get him the football, why would you want to hitch your career long-term to that guy?
But this is how you know, this is how you know Green Bay messed up, because they spent a whole year saying, Aaron, we love you. Matt LaFleur getting teary-eyed in press conferences, like, I really want him to come back. Gutekunst saying, you know what? We're not putting any pressure on Aaron. We want him back. We're just going to wait and see, you know, he'll let us know what he wants to do. Well, you do that because he's one of the best players to ever play the game. However, them doing that, now you've jeopardized this relationship, and Aaron knows that you love him so dearly that you will just sit there and wait for whatever he wants to do. So now, year to year, he's in. Aaron Rodgers runs the Packers. Like, that's the reality.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers runs the Packers. So everybody else, if you're trying to get paid, do you.
Greeny, to move the story forward, I think Chris makes a fascinating and hugely consequential point. Let's just pick a player, DK Metcalf. He's going to want to get paid.
Yeah.
Seattle's rebuilding. Green Bay has multiple first-round picks. If I'm DK Metcalf, Chris just nailed it. He's not going to want to go there because what's it going to look like a year from now?
Mm-hmm.
So not only was this a bad day for the Packers, how do they recover? And if they draft a receiver,
great point.
A wide receiver this year will not be as good as Devontae Adams this year. And if you're all in to win this year, none of this makes sense.
Let me get Ninko in here. Ninko, as you hear all of this, what are you thinking?
I think Green Bay is on a trajectory of just going downhill from here. And we've seen Green Bay be successful, right? They haven't won playoff games. They haven't been deep in the playoffs. And everyone's been talking about how that's the issue. And they need to get back to a Super Bowl. They need to get deeper in the playoffs. Well, guess what? What happens if we see Green Bay lose a division or not look that good? And you have Aaron Rodgers and you're paying him this much money. I think the whole thing, as a whole, you look at this whole big picture. If you're a player like Adams, and you say, okay, I'm sitting back here. I'm the best receiver in the NFL. It's all the focus is on Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers could miss all the offseason. He can say he can threat with retirement. He could threat with I'm walking away. But now, and then he could say, it's not about the money. It's about, you know, having control and a say. And then they do all these things to get him happy. And then they pay him $50 million a year. You're like, you know what? I want to go get paid too. I want to be the highest paid receiver in the league. I'm the best receiver in the league. So let me go do that. And now we'll see how great the Packers organization can be without the best receiver. Mm-hmm. And now you have you have one of the greatest quarterbacks, but now can he create magic, and is he going to be there longer than a year if they don't win the division?
If they lose,
is he going to say, you know what, I'm done with this. I'm done.
It's well said. Domoski, let me get back to you for one last thing. What do we know about their plans now? This seemed to come out of nowhere, at least to us. But if you're telling me Rodgers was aware it was a problem, that means the Packers have been aware this was at least a possibility. So they now find themselves without a number one receiver. They do have a couple of number one picks. In what direction do we expect them to go here?
Well, history, Greeny, would suggest that they're not going to draft a receiver in the first round because they haven't done so since 2002, and that was with Javon Walker. Only two teams have gone longer without using a first-round pick on a receiver than the Packers. But this is a receiver-rich draft, as I'm sure all of our draft gurus will tell you. They have the opportunity to pair some picks and move up and get one of the best receivers in the league or in the draft if they want to, or they can stay where they are and do what Ron Wolf, the former Hall of Fame general manager here, did a number of years ago. They had such a deficiency in the secondary that I believe it was 1999, he used his first three picks on cornerbacks. It would not surprise me if Brian Gutekunst, who is a Ron Wolf disciple, used multiple picks early in the draft on receivers, went 1, 2, 3 at that position.
Or took those picks and packaged them, as you just described, and go out and get a more proven commodity as we sort of think about who that might be. I mean, DK Metcalf jumped to your mind?
100%. And again, while I like what Rob's saying for the next 10 years, again, going back to the theme of inconsistency.
It's this year, for right now.
With an aging quarterback making $50 million a year, you got to go get a proven receiver right now.
Right, Domoski, awesome work. So well done. Thank you, my man. And thank you for getting up here. And we'll come back to you as we go. We are just getting rolling here because we got sneaky big news about Matt Matt Ryan that could not only lead to his departure from Atlanta, but could also make a huge difference in the AFC. That's next.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Back on the NFL, and sneaky big news from Atlanta this morning. Our Adam Schefter reporting the Falcons and Matt Ryan have agreed to push back the due date on a $7.5 million roster bonus that was due today. They've pushed it back to Tuesday. And in Schefter's explanation, this gives Matt Ryan, the legendary longtime quarterback in Atlanta, 4 extra days to vet his trade options. Thankfully, I have my general manager right next to me. What should we be reading from the fact that they have pushed this deadline back?
Matt Ryan's gone, period. They're not going to move it back and say, oh, by the way, on Tuesday, we really want you here. So you're looking and we're looking. We're looking at Deshaun Watson. You're presumably talking to the Cleveland Browns. Mm-hmm. Who's their quarterback? Some guy named Baker Mayfield. The Indianapolis Colts. So what's happening right now is they're going to assess their options. And what's really great for Atlanta, you're going to probably come out of this maybe with a first-round pick, because the Cleveland Browns and the Indianapolis Colts, two teams that have really good teams right now that want to win right now, Greeny, will see Matt Ryan as an unexpected opportunity. And when that happens, you're going to pay a premium. The Colts don't have a first-round pick this year. Maybe it's a 2 this year and a 1 next year. The Browns will be all in because they have a really good team. Mm-hmm. And now, all of a sudden, by Tuesday, I would be very surprised if Matt Ryan was a Falcon on Tuesday.
And so let's do all of the math of that. It also means that they have reason to strongly believe they're going to get Deshaun Watson.
Right. If we were running the Falcons, we would not go to Matt Ryan and say, we want to move this back till Tuesday and then expect him to be the quarterback. So someone knows something about how close they are to getting Deshaun Watson.
And it's worth pointing out again that Kyle Pitts, the star tight end there in Atlanta, posted something about how scary they're going to be then took it down, and that he and Deshaun Watson have the same agent. Yep. That happened yesterday. So if we're reading tea leaves, and we're not reporting, but we're kind of putting two and two together, it sounds like there's a real chance Deshaun Watson's going to Atlanta. And then where do you think Matt Ryan should want to go if you were in his shoes, Canty?
I'm going with the Indianapolis Colts. Top 10 offense, top 10 defense, 2 years in a row. And if you look at Frank Reich, they've had a different starting quarterback each of the 4 years he's been there. They've made the playoff twice, and 3 out of those 4 years they've had a winning record. So it seems like it makes all the sense in the world to go to a team that has an offensive line that's built like a brick wall and a defense to support you with playmakers at all three levels. So I think by far the Indianapolis Colts are a better organization than the Cleveland Browns. There's been more stability there, and that means that's the best landing spot for Matt Ryan.
Kmart, what do you think?
I would say Colts. If I'm Matt Ryan, get me out of Atlanta, because here it's clear that you want Deshaun Watson. Okay, I'll go to a ready-made.
Colts versus Browns.
Colts versus Browns. See, here's the thing with Deshaun. Like, if this is really about football, like, the Browns are a good option. Like, if you look at the roster, you talk about organization. The people that run the organization now didn't draft Baker Mayfield. This is a different regime. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So when you talk about roster, you said it the last segment. The Colts and the Browns, like, they pretty much have a playoff caliber roster, like weapons. All you need is a quarterback. So I would pick Indy just because of the division is easier. Mm-hmm. That's the only difference.
Let me get Nico in there. If you're Matt Ryan and you're looking at those two options, and you're thinking, look, the only thing I've not accomplished in my career, he's got an MVP, he's made a ton of money. The one thing he hasn't done is win a Super Bowl, and he was so painfully close in a game, Ninko, that you remember well because you played in it. Which of those two places do you think Ryan has a better chance to win it next year, Indy or Cleveland?
I'm going with Indy. And I said earlier in the show that both of these teams want the same thing and exactly what Matt Ryan can give them, and that's an accurate passer down the field on third down. You know, if you're both of these teams, you've had quarterbacks that can hand the ball off. What you need is somebody that can complete a pass accurately down the field and also observe what the defense is showing you and check to the appropriate play. You know, this past season, both of those teams had to kind of babysit the quarterback and help them in those decision-making processes. You know, Matt Ryan is your prototypical pocket quarterback, old school guy that can make all the checks. He can run the offense. He's been in the league so long, and I've played against him many times. He is a really hard quarterback to prepare for because he's that smart. So, you know, if I'm the Colts, I'm going after Matt Ryan because Matt Ryan, you know, obviously he's a dome team guy. He's been in a dome. He's played inside his whole career. He goes to Cleveland. He's playing in the elements. He's playing outside. It might be raining and cold, and I just think it's a better fit for him to go to a dome team. Indianapolis, they have the running game. You know, they have the offensive line. They have the defense. It's all set up for Matt Ryan to go there and be successful.
I like it. Canty.
And Greeny, just to put a bow on this Colts point, the Colts right now have the most cap space of any team in the National Football League. So if you're Matt Ryan, if you do get traded there, there's the opportunity to be involved in the process of putting the supporting cast around you that's going to allow you to play up to your potential. And that's important for a quarterback that's in his late 30s.
So give me the finishing touch here. How are you handling this? If you're the GMs here, how are you playing this right this minute?
Well, it's really an arms race. He's like the last best guy, so I'm not getting off the phone. If I'm Chris Ballard or if I'm Andrew Berry from the Colts and the Browns. Now, the guy that has the most risk right now is the Falcons, because what happens if they don't get Watson and he goes to the Saints and now you're so far down the road with Matt Ryan leaving, now all of a sudden you may not have a quarterback and you don't have great options.
Well, that's why I began the conversation by asking you, does this, the fact that they pushed this back super quickly, does that suggest to you they think or even know they're getting Deshaun?
Yes, because there's no other options.
That's what I think as well. All right, look, as you can obviously tell, this might be the busiest Football Friday we've ever had, and we have a ton more of it coming in our next hour, including Shefty off the top with all of the news, and the big Swagoo is going to jump in as well. We will have him momentarily, so stay with us for all of that. In the meantime, we are just hours away from the start of the women's NCAA tournament. You will see all the action here on ESPN. The number one overall seed is South Carolina, looking to cap off what's been a great season, seeking their first championship since 2017. They'll have to do so against other great teams in the field. According to Caesars Sportsbook, the favorites are South Carolina, but Stanford right there close behind, and you see the traditional favorite there in UConn, welcoming Paige Beckers back in late February. They've been winning games since then by an average of 41 points per game. And when we speak of UConn greats, and there's only one place that we turn, and that, of course, is the legend, Rebecca Lobo, who gets up with us here early in preparation for all of the coverage. And so, Rebecca, UConn's sort of in a rare position here as the third favorite in the field. It's been a long time. They haven't won a championship since 2016. Are they good enough to win it this year?
It's been a long time. 2016, that just sounds so funny. And it's interesting, too, that they're the third favorite, considering they're a two seed in the women's tournament. But yes, absolutely, they're good enough. Were they good enough 5 or 6 weeks ago before their players got healthy? Maybe not. This is a team that went through a stretch with really key players out because of injury. You mentioned Paige Beckers. AZ Fudd was another who has since come back and played a big role for this team. They're going 9 deep now. This is a team at times that only had 6 healthy players. Now they have 9. AZ Fudd is an incredible three-point shooter coming in as a freshman, finally finding her footing. Paige Beckers is still not 100%, only 5 games back from that injury, but she certainly changes the team. Has been playing limited minutes, about 14 a game since her return, but she's the pass-first guard who gives her team a tremendous amount of confidence when she's on the floor. So right now, if Connecticut continues to stay healthy, if Beckers continues to progress, absolutely, they could win their first championship since 2016.
I know, for most people, that doesn't feel like a long drought, but as you know better than anybody, in Storrs, Connecticut, it feels like a very long time. Okay, so we understand there are people who are filling out their brackets here last minute before everything gets started, and there are so many fans that will start watching here in the tournament that didn't pay close attention through the season. So give everybody 3 players that they should be watching closely as the tournament begins today.
Yeah, especially if you're just starting to watch women's college basketball this year, there are three names that are at the top of the list, and one of them is Aaliyah Boston. She has been the best player in women's college basketball all season long, and it's what she does on both ends of the floor. She can be unstoppable in the post and is an outstanding rebounder, particularly offensive rebounder, but she's also a defensive force. This South Carolina team leads the nation in block shots per game, and that is anchored by Aaliyah Boston. She certainly is a player that should be on everyone's radar as they continue to watch the game. And Caitlin Clark, that's one player I think if you've been watching SportsCenter, you certainly know her name. She leads the nation in scoring. She leads the nation in assists. We have never seen a player on the women's side who leads the nation in both categories. She's an incredible player to watch, so dangerous because of her Steph Curry-like range. And finally, a player that you want to keep your eye on is Baylor's Nalissa Smith. This is another senior who could be one of the top couple picks taken in the WNBA draft. She averages a double-double for Baylor, a really exciting talent, 6'4", can get out in the open floor, can face, can score. She's added a three-point shot to her game, but she is a relentless presence on the boards and a really fun player to watch down there in Waco.
Okay, so again, everyone is getting set. You still have a few hours to get your brackets in, so fill out your sheet of integrity, and you, Rebecca, will be watching you like crazy over the next 2 weeks. Take good care of Elle Duncan for us.
We will do that.
Rebecca Lobo and company. Again, the coverage begins today. First round, 11:30 Eastern this morning on ESPN2. South Florida against Miami. That's followed by South Dakota and Ole Miss. ESPN then has Howard taking on the aforementioned one seed South Carolina at 2 Eastern, followed by Illinois State against Caitlin Clark and Iowa. All the games are also available on the ESPN app. As we continue, a Sin City stunner. Devontae to the desert. What did Aaron know, and when did he know it? Shefty, Swagoo, join our party next. Get up on ESPN.